to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for November 19th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me from Hokkaido is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
Well, we've got snow, first snowfall of the year, and the taxi driver on the way back from the dome told me that it was the latest first snowfall of the year in 30 years, and to be honest, I would have been happier if it was the latest snowfall in about 50 years and, like, started the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, the day after you leave. Yeah, what's happening here?
It was getting sloppy and messy, but we had a real fun game tonight. We had two interesting games, Japan versus Cuba.
All right, yeah, we're going to talk about those games. We're going to talk about the national team. We're going to talk about the WBC and free agents and a whole bunch of stuff. So let's start clearing the bases.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's too much for me to say. Let's see. So you had two games, and I was really impressed with Japan. Koji Yamamoto picked a lot of young guys. I know that part of it is because it seems like everybody who's in the major leagues right now is either dropped out already or is planning to drop out once they sign with their new club.
Right. Well, he has six players to come. And basically, now I've been told by, I'm working on a different story, and I was told by a veteran columnist here in Japan that basically the situation is very difficult now, that basically NPB has to go to the teams, the players' teams, and tell them they want the player.
So, for example, if there's a Yu Darvish out there, you have to go to the Texas Rangers and present your story to them.
That way, you can't go public and say, we want Darvish on the team. You have to say, we would like Dar. You have to notify the team before you tell anybody you want him on the team. I don't know how this is. I'm still trying to find this out for different stories. So, but apparently it's very long and convoluted. And the other thing is that he and also the Japan, one of the Japan pitching coaches, Tsuyoshi Yoda.
He is Yamamoto.
He, the columnist I was speaking with,
okay,
said that having major league pitchers on the roster is a real headache because you have guys, basically the teams send people to tell them, we don't want you to do this and we don't want you to do that. Be careful how you trim their fingernails. And
you got monitors.
Exactly. They have hall monitors.
Do you have your hall pass?
Exactly. So they have people, since Matsuzaka happened, the fear is that it's become so much worse and the teams are really careful. And so it's almost like, well, we'd like to have them, but if they're not happy to come, you know, if it's going to be a hassle, well, you know, stay home or stay abroad.
Yeah. Well, the young guys did well. I like what they did. They won the first game, which was, Friday in Fukuoka, and they won 2-0, seven pitchers combined to throw a three hitter.
Right.
With no walks.
No walks, and no walks again tonight.
And no walks again tonight. So 18 innings, one run, zero walks. I don't know how many hits. Maybe you can tell me how many hits they allowed. But the pitching was really good.
11 hits. They had 8 hits. Cuba had 8 hits today. The last one, next to the last one being the home run. So, okay. Oh, might have been 9 hits. I'm trying to remember my stories. Anyway. Okay, so yeah, very good, very interesting games. Friday's was kind of strange in the sense that, well, it was a strange game because Ginjiro Sumitani hit his first home run in a couple of birthdays.
I was going to try to look through his games of 2010 to figure out when the last time he actually hit a home run was, but I was too tired and too busy this week.
Yeah. So anyway, so he hits a home run. You know, it's one of those things that happen. You leave a pitch up in the zone, and the guy takes a big swing and hits the ball.
Yeah, and a Cebu Lion, other than Nakamura and Nakajima hitting a home run, is kind of news.
Well, anyway, it was one of those things that happened, and it was kind of an accident. And of course, he had the so Japanese answer. I would have preferred to have hit a sacrifice bunt. Of course, that would have been kind of bass awkward since there was nobody
on base.
you're a Japanese player.
Yeah, well, better than that. I mean, that's pretty good, but better than that, I like – Koji Yamamoto, the skipper. I like the look on his face as the ball was sailing toward the fence. The camera panned back to him, and it just shows this man sitting with his eyes wide open, his mouth open, in total shock.
Well, Koji has been he's been working as an analyst on TV the past 11 years.
Certainly, and yeah.
He's been working for the Giants for MTV.
Primarily.
So you should. I was waiting for him. I had a couple of questions for him today, and I was waiting for him behind the Sapporo Dome bench, and he's going, "Hey, which way? How do you get to the bench? I haven't been here for a long. In fact, I almost never been here." Manager, and you know the Giants don't play at Sapporo Dome anymore. They don't have home games here, so when he goes to Sapporo Dome, of course, and it's also as a broadcaster, so he doesn't come through the team's exit, so he was completely lost. But in any case, he said because he's a Giants broadcaster, he really doesn't know how little power Ginjiro Sumitani has, and he said to him, "How many home runs you hit this year?" And he said, "None." And he went, "Like, you can't, like, zero?" And he said, "Yeah." He said zero? After the game, he said zero.
Yeah, we didn't believe it when he hit it. And of course, every player, that's the standard line. They feed you. I didn't think it was going to go out. But you could see him on the replay and put his head down because he knew it was going out. And he didn't run. He didn't, you know, beat it out of the batter's box to first base. He was pretty much in cruise control. If it was going to go off the wall, he was going to have a double. But he wasn't pounding it like he thought it was going to be an out or anything. So he knew it was a hit. He knew it was gone, I think. And, of course, he says, "I didn't think it was going out."
You know, it hit the sweet spot of the bat. I think he didn't probably even feel it. He hit it so well.
Yeah, accidents do happen.
So it was gone. There wasn't any doubt. It was close to being foul. I don't know how close it was to being foul from my vantage point, but it was down the line. But it was hit really well. So,
and then okay. Game two, yeah, it was 3-1 was the final.
3-1 was the final. And it was pretty much the same thing. Basically, the first game, the whole thing about the first game was, a bunch of players who are. A bunch of big swinging players before the start of their season have trouble with breaking balls. And the Cubans couldn't hit it looked like somebody invented the breaking ball and nobody had told them.
Hey, what's this secret pitch they're using?
Exactly. Space aliens, we're playing. That's what it looked like. It looked remarkably like this announcer. I was listening to a veteran MLB writer in 2009. We're in San Diego in the press lounge watching the U.S. play somebody in another group while I was in San Diego following Japan. And he said, "Breaking balls, breaking balls. Haven't you guys ever seen any? You look like you've never seen one." And that's how it was. It's, you threw a breaking ball and the Cubans were just like swinging and like that move. That's not supposed to happen. And after the game, I asked Sumitani about that. He said, "Yeah, it was like, yeah, we noticed it, and we threw more and more breaking pitches. And finally, some of the guys started, shortening their swings and trying to get some good swings. But they really didn't get any good swings until, they got a couple of swings off of bad pitches, you know, missed fastballs in both games. But the best swings they had in the first game were against Shun Yamaguchi, who really doesn't throw anything but fastballs.
Yeah. So, well, the things I liked about game two, Shota Dobayashi triple.
Right.
To center, straightaway center, and he hit a ball really hard. And then my man crush guy, you know, Itoi Yoshio, you know, I love him. From the fighters, he gets a triple, and he got a leg triple. I mean, I didn't think that was a triple off the bat. I thought it was going to be back. I mean, I thought it was going to get past the right fielder, go to the wall. Thought he was going to have a double because he hit it fairly hard, but he was motored around the third and ends up scoring a run. So that was good. But the thing that stood out the most for me was that Victor Mesa, the skipper of Cuba, or was it Hiromitsu Ochiai? Because that guy changed pitchers more than I remember Ochai changing pitchers.
He had nine pitchers tonight. I looked, I got the score sheet, and I'm looking, and I was so busy, and from my vantage point, I'm really writing about Japan and not Cuba. And the score sheet came very late, but I did get it, and, just to be on the safe side, I can tell you, count the number of Cuban pitchers. It's kind of like a video game that's going to come out.
Yeah, it's like Super Mario Brothers and Cousins and Friends.
Well, that's exactly why a 3-1 game took, 3 hours and 45 minutes to play.
Yeah, I kept thinking, let my gym go.
Okay.
Get him out of here. But yeah, I mean, they were changing pitchers. And what I also liked one thing that he did though, Mesa did, was, he had a young 19-year-old pitcher in there late in the game. I believe it was the eighth inning, and he pitched to Oshima, and he ended up striking out Oshima, and this was after the triple by...
This was a Nunez, the 19-year-old lefty.
Yeah. And he used the pitching change time to tell him about, to explain to him, don't take too long to your step to home plate because you have a runner on third, and if the batter is going to be bunting and there's going to be a squeeze play, you're going to let the batter get around on you, and you're not going to be able to throw the ball in the location that you want to because you're taking too long with your step. And he's very demonstrative with his actions as he was explaining with the step. It was so interesting to watch that just during that pitching change. And he says, okay, kid, go sit on the bench and watch somebody else throw.
I like Mesa, and you know, he's got, I didn't know this until tonight, because I didn't start following, I never covered Japanese amateur baseball much at all. But he had quite a long career in Japan. Well, and he was one of the forerunners of all of the Cubans that came over here in the 90s.
Okay.
Anyway, so he played over here quite a bit, and everybody knows that. And he's a very intelligent, well-spoken guy. He's different from most of the Cuban managers I've dealt with in the past, in that they always say, "Oh yeah, Japan's a great team. They play great baseball." Okay, what's the next question?
Right.
He was interesting. He did use a lot of pitchers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And any case, right? The Cuban pitching was, a lot of the Japanese players were a little surprised because, you know, all they heard was how hard the Cuban throw. I mean, there are Cuban pitchers who throw really hard now and then, but it's still Latin American ball, and you get everything but the kitchen sink mostly. And, they got a lot of breaking balls. I mean, it was mostly breaking balls, a few fastballs here and there. A couple of guys are pretty basic fastball, curveball, slider.
So they can throw them, but they don't usually hit them.
Well, that's the other thing is, the pitchers did pretty well. The Japanese guys, Oshima, the starter tonight was very good. Freddy Garcia, big right-hander for Cuba, was a very basic fastball slider. He threw a couple of changeups, a couple of curveballs, threw quite hard, but he kept everything down. He missed one fastball. It was either a fastball or slider, I don't recall, but he missed one up to Oshima. And, Oshima fouled it off, and it was as sweet as can be, and he missed it. And then, the other thing that was interesting about the Cuba games, and I didn't notice this the first game until Katsuya Kakunaka doubled on a little looper over second base.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the Cubans were playing the outfield was to shade every Japanese batter the opposite way. The center fielder played from slightly, you know, let's say 10 or 15 steps off the center line.
Right, I got you.
About 30 steps. So a couple of batters he was playing very close to right in the gap. Now, the thing about that was the Cuban pitchers were hitting their spots pretty well tonight. And it wasn't until late in the game when, you know, it was like the game's over and I'm just, you know, let's get out of here, that they started putting pitches up and in.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled a lot, and the Japanese, Itoi was the first hitter tonight to really pull one.
Well, that ball was right down the middle. He should have just I'm actually surprised he didn't hit it out of the stadium because that was on a tee.
Yeah, that I did. I was so busy at that point. I was busy writing my story.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that this would be likened to an All-Star game, but I think it's a little bit different because these teams have met so much in the World Baseball Classic already. That they pretty much know each other and they scout each other, and it's not like an All-Star game. They actually have a lot of data on all the guys, so I'm sure they know a lot of the guys, especially these young players that Japan brought in tonight, are not pull hitters for the most part. Oshima is not.
They played nobody to pull. They pulled everybody away. Okada was probably the guy who got the most respect, with the center fielder only playing maybe 10, 15 steps to left field.
And he is a pull hitter.
And then, of course, when he hit his double in the eighth inning, he hit it right into the gap in right center. That's how come he could get a double. Well, he probably would have got a double off it anyway, but it was
I think he's healthy now. I don't think he has that hamstring probably healed now.
He ran pretty well. The thing that I want to mention about the positioning was because the Cuban pitchers kept everything away, everything in the zone was away and mostly low, that the pitches they did hit, the center fielder, they hit a couple into the gap, but the center fielder just, he took five steps and said, oh, here it is.
Yeah, here it is.
Played perfectly, pitched well, defended well. The Cuban fielding was much better. It was a little shoddy on Friday. Some of the throws were poor, but great arm strength by most of the fielders. Some terrific speed in the outfield, some good catches in the outfield. The Cuban center fielder had a nasty collision with the center field wall chasing Dobayashi's triple.
Yeah, I saw that, and they thought it was a shoulder. But he ended up staying in the game, as I recall.
For a while, and I was afraid it was a neck because he wasn't moving there for a while.
Yeah, he probably just had the wind knocked out of him.
But, yeah, fun game, and some interesting things came from that. Abe had some interesting things to say. Basically, the Cubans are going to be, they haven't started opening day. They've still got, from what I understand, they still have two more games to play against Mexico. And the word I have heard is they expect to see one defection. One of these guys on this roster won't be playing in the WBC because he'll probably be looking for a major league team next spring and won't be in Cuba.
Well, what I'm more interested in is what the Japanese roster is going to look like. And I think, obviously we've had a lot of guys drop out of there are a lot of guys who are in the major leagues already. They've dropped out. We don't know how many of these young guys are going to be on the team, but let's go through who we thought was going to be on the roster. Let's start with Claudio from Toronto. He sent us what he thinks is going to be the lineup.
Okay.
And he says, considering there's a whole bunch of players that are currently injured and that likely none of the Japanese players who are currently active in MLB are able to play, I just decided to build the best lineup I could, based on the current conditions, which may change by March. And he has Itoi leading off and playing center field. He has Sakamoto batting second and playing short. Inaba at first base, batting third. Abe DHing and batting cleanup. Murata playing third base and batting fifth. Uchikawa left field, batting sixth. Chono right field, batting seventh. Higuchi at second base, batting eighth. And Tanishige catching.
Yeah, that's kind of the interesting thing, is that Abe is a DH. Of course, you've got Abe in the lineup, you could catch him as well. So I do like having Tanishige around.
I do too. I like his lineup. I like, Higuchi, the only one I probably wouldn't put on there is Higuchi, just because I don't like the way he's been moving the past couple years.
I agree with you. I think Higuchi is the one. And I think Uchikawa is another big question mark just because of his age and his mobility is not what it used to be. But he's a gamer. Murata
was a guy I was going to say, before the Japan series, I would have said never.
Absolutely.
And that's when we got this, just around the end of the Japan series, but he played such great defense during the Japan series.
Absolutely.
And he hit well during the climax series.
Well enough.
He hit okay. Yeah, he hit okay.
Well, when nobody else was hitting, he didn't hit much, you know, he didn't tear the cover off the ball, but, you know, he was like as good as most of the guys who weren't hitting. But I'm in full agreement with you that before the Japan series, my spot with Murata on the national team would be on one of those guys you call up when somebody else gets hurt.
Which bench. Is,
yeah, exactly. I really didn't want him on the team. I still have my doubts. You know, the thing about playing with the Yokohama Bay Stars is that they're the Mariners of Japan. They crush your spirit if you have any.
Mm-hmm.
And, they crushed his pretty good. He's a nice enough guy, but he just was playing down to the expectations the last couple of years. And this year, to be honest, he didn't play that much better with the Giants. I mean, in fact, he played like he had the last couple of years, until the end of the season, until the climax series, when he became, actually, he was warming up in the climax series because he got to a lot of balls, but he was dropping a bunch of them until about game 4 or 5. And then he looked like Brooks Robinson.
Yeah, he turned it around defensively. And I don't know what the change was, but I liked it. And the only thing I don't like about Claudio's lineup is that I still wouldn't have him over Okawari-kun. I wouldn't have him over Nakamura at third.
Well, the thing is that Nakamura ain't going to play.
Yeah, he's probably still injured.
Yeah, he's had surgery, so I think he's going to be out. He's not expected even to make the... I don't know how fit he's going to be at the opening of spring training. I doubt him. I like Matsuda as a player, but Matsuda didn't show me anything this week. So I prefer Matsuda over Murata for a variety of reasons. Fielding, Murata's a little better. Matsuda's a much better hitter at this stage of his career, and he's still got some room to grow. I would like them both on the team. Iguchi, I don't think he doesn't really have it anymore. I would prefer, you know who I would prefer at second as the veteran? I'd like to keep Ibata on the team.
Yeah, you know, let me go through my lineup first, and then we'll talk about who's not on and who should be on. And we'll go through your lineup as well. I had Kensuke Tanaka, second base.
Okay.
Seiichi Uchikawa, left field.
Yep.
Sakamoto at short.
Yep.
I had Nakajima batting cleanup.
Yep.
And playing third.
Okay.
Then I have Abe. And I decided I was going to give Tsutsugo a chance at first base. You know, against right-handers, and we'll see what's happening against left-handers later on. Itoi at second base, and, you know, just because I don't think he's that great, but I would, Itoi, you know, next, batting eighth and playing right field, I had Ichiro.
Okay.
And it's only because I like his experience, and I like his toughness, and I like his mental makeup in these tournament-style games. He brings that extra oomph that I liked. It might not do you any good, but it's better to have it than to not have it. And catching, I had Shima catching.
Yeah, I'll give you mine. Of course, a bunch of people have dropped out, so.
Yeah, I have dropouts.
So. I think Ichiro is gonna play, but if he doesn't, you know, I don't think it's a big loss. You like to have him. But he also put so much in the past two WBCs. He's basically hasn't hit for the first two rounds.
And yeah, I got him only in there for inspiration. I don't have him in there for his production.
I'd say, you know, bring him off the bench for 2 weeks and then let him play in the final.
Strictly inspiration, not production based.
Okay. Now the columnist I was talking to about the other story was saying that. About another story today, was saying that Ichiro is a problem for the team, for building a team that works together, because he requires special treatment. He doesn't stay in the same hotel. He doesn't eat with the other players. He doesn't do anything with the other players. He's
prima donna. Yeah, we know.
So I'd forgotten that stuff. So, okay, let's say I had Suzuki, Ichiro Suzuki playing, but I'd be happier having a toy there.
Okay.
My left fielder is Kakunaka.
Kakunaka and left, okay.
Kakunaka, center field. I'm up in the air about Akiyama or Oshima. Akiyama had a better season than Oshima did, but Oshima sure looks good when he's healthy. Yep. I have as a shortstops, I have Sakamoto as number one, and my next guess, well, you know who my number two is.
Ibata. No.
No, you know me. Toritani.
Oh. You got the man crush going there. Okay, I see.
Because he doesn't look like anything. He just plays. He just gets results. So what can I say?
All right. Well, you got a left right combination there, so you got that going for you.
Okay. Second base is a bit of a struggle. I like the guys that are out there now. I would think the second baseman I would want would be, of course, Kensuke Tanaka. He's the guy I really want. But I assume we're not going to get him. And then Iguchi, too late in the game for Iguchi, I'm afraid. I would go with Honda. I would go with Honda and Ibata. I like Hiroyasu Tanaka, but again, this is a guy whose career is just, he's going downhill at this stage. Honda's got some room to grow. He's also got a lot of speed. International competition, you can't have enough guys who can catch the ball and fly.
Yep.
And because it means every time the difference is that you've got you're playing games against teams that don't play together a lot. This is an advantage Japan has because they play in similar systems. They come up through a very rigorous culture, which is very homogeneous. The players know what they're expected to do because they've all done it since they were in diapers. Okay, so. Yeah, you can plug in pretty much whoever you like. Let's see. Third baseman, as I mentioned, Matsuda Murata. First baseman, I like Inaba or Okada. I haven't been a big fan of Okada because he's always hurt, but if he's healthy, I like him. Catcher. Okay, now here we go. Catchers. Like my three sons. My three catchers would be, I keep wanting to push Tanishige off the team, but I do like him so much. Abe, Shima, and I would prefer in that group as Shima is the young guy. I'd prefer Tanishige as the old guy.
Okay. Of course,
he played on the last WBC team as well as sort of that role, so he's used to it.
All right.
We'll talk about the pitchers here, but that's fine.
Yeah, I did write down my pitchers. I had in the rotation, of course, he's since dropped out since I made mine, but Yu Darvish I had, of course, number one. The guy I was surprised, but then again, because of the injuries, I'm not surprised, and that's Ma-kun, Masahiro Tanaka of the Eagles. He's not there. So Kenta Maeda, Tetsuya Utsumi, Kazuki Yoshimi, and Hiroki Kuroda. But
yeah, well, Kuroda's doubtful, and well, actually, he said he won't play.
Right, we're waiting for them to sign so they can drop out because they're preparing for their major league season.
That he's not going to play, apparently.
Okay.
Well, told Yamamoto he's not going to play, apparently. Although that's still that word is iffy. And the other one is, of course, Yoshimi's coming off of elbow surgery, so that's kind of dicey.
Yeah. All right, well, let me read now. Alex Ramirez apparently told Tokyo Sports what team that he would like to see play in the WBC for Japan. So let me go through his team. It was pitching. The starters would be Kenta Maeda and Masahiro Tanaka.
Yep.
Catching, Abe Shinosuke.
Yep.
First base, Inaba from the Fighters. Second base, Kensuke Tanaka.
Yeah.
Third base, Matsuda.
Yeah.
Shortstop, Toritani.
That likes him. Okay, that's two of us.
And he would have Kazuo Matsui as the utility guy, he said. I don't know why.
You know, I was having trouble. When I was looking at my list, I was having trouble trying to figure out what the excuse for not putting Kazuo Matsui on the team.
His looping throws from short? He can get to everything fine. I just don't think he has the arm strength.
No, he does not have the arm strength. He's not, you know, he's not your classic type. But Japan doesn't have a lot of classic types. But, you know, it's, you know, just the way he played this year when he was fairly healthy for the first time in years, really kind of opened my eyes. So.
Yeah, he did well. All right, let me finish this. He has in the outfield, he's got Seiichi Uchikawa, he's got Yoshio Itoi, and he's got Hisayoshi Chono.
Yeah, Chono. Chono's going to make the team, no doubt about that. I mean, the guys who are can't miss, Albie, of course, has been named the captain, Chono and Sakamoto, those three. A few other guys. Inaba, I think the job that they're waiting for him.
Right.
And a couple of the guys, I think the same with Kenta Maeda, too. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see who from this team is going to, you know, of the 29 guys on this team, how many of them are still going to be asked to play.
Yeah, asked to play. Also, Alex also did put as a special pinch runner.
Oh, yeah.
And defensive replacement, he put Suzuki Takahiro of the Giants.
Wow.
That was a wow for me too, but this is a guy, you know what, the smart thing, and this is what I like about Alex Ramirez, is you don't put a guy who's used to playing regularly all the time in that position where he's got to go out and play a defensive spot or he's got a pinch run because he's not used to it, especially in these international competitions. So you put a guy out there who's very used to it and very good at it. It makes sense. It's the only thing he can do on the roster spot, but it makes sense.
Play the outfield. I mean, I guess I would prefer somebody who could play either infield and outfield in that position if I've got somebody who's going to be pinch running in a want form. But, you know, there's something to be said for that. That's the having the special teams guy in the NFL All-Star game. You know, you got a bunch of regular guys, they're not quite certain what blocking means.
Right. Now, the other thing is that I haven't heard anything about Shinya Miyamoto, but I would want him on the team.
I don't think that's going to happen at this stage of his career, especially since he wasn't on the last team.
Well, leadership. I just love his leadership. That's it.
I do too, but I think, you know, I think with Abe, now can you have enough leadership? The answer is, well, yes, if everybody's a leader, yeah. If you've got 25 leaders, then I think the other three are superfluous, but could you use more? And the answer is, well, how much is the leadership worth on your roster? He can play third base like nobody's business. Yeah, I'm not against having him on the team, but I think it's going to be hard for him to push somebody else off based on that. You know, to be honest, if I had to choose between Miyamoto and Murata Shuichi, I'd take Miyamoto.
Yeah.
Murata is actually at this stage in his career a better defensive fielder. He's a better fielder when he wants to be.
Which I think he proved in the Japan Series in the postseason.
But the question is, okay, well, yeah, but you want a guy who's like up for it all the time. There's never a doubt. He's always looking around. What can I do better? And Miyamoto is the guy. I like your thinking on that. And the other thing I had a thought about, which was a guy, and this is sort of like flying in the face, this is almost a contradiction, but a guy who's a big game player, but a player I don't particularly like. He's one of these guys who gets up for big games, like Murata did in the Japan Series, and like Kazuhiro Kiyohara always did, who gets up for big games, but you can't trust him to play ordinary games because his head isn't big enough. And that's Nishioka.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Nishioka, of course, is that he hasn't played much. And so that's an issue. So anyway, a really interesting, you know, who's the best? And Nishioka is an anti-leader.
Yeah, he's a troublemaker. But I want to thank Claudio for sending in his lineup. We still invite everyone else to send in their lineups and who they'd like to see or who they think they will see in March. I was impressed with the two games from Japan because they use a lot of young players and still played fairly well, really good baseball. It was nice to see an exhibition game. So I think the future is still bright, whether these major league guys come on and play or not. I think Japan's going to compete really well in the tournament.
Right. Speaking of the WBC, before we close this out, we have one qualifier has been decided, finally, in a game that just ended after it was scheduled to start at 1 p.m. in Taiwan, because I think they had about a seven-hour rain delay.
So in 7 hours, they could have flown here and played the game.
They pretty much could have. And now, fortunately for the fans in Taiwan, who will now get a home team in their Group B first round, I think it's the Pool B first round next March, probably be Chinese, I'm sure it will be Chinese Taipei, since they have now qualified. And tonight we had Yang Yaoxun of SoftBank throwing four scoreless innings and being the winning pitcher as Taiwan defeated upstart New Zealand in the final of World Baseball Classic qualifier group in Taiwan. So yeah, shout out to New Zealand for going 2-1 and 2-2 in that tournament. Good job, guys.
All right.
And the other final is going to be starting in a few hours in Panama City, and that will be Brazil versus Panama in a repeat. And that game, we could well see Yakult's Yuichi Matsumoto is playing for Brazil,
mm-hmm.
having already beaten Panama. Panama is coming out of the loser's bracket. Former NPB player with Panama is Jose Macias. He was with the Fighters in 2006.
I remember Macias, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. The happiest guy on earth. Just wonderful fella. So anyway, good to see him play. He was 0-for-4 as the DH today, so not so good. Anyway.
No, he's probably not so happy now. So let's move on to something that's probably not going to make us very happy, which is the discussion of the MVPs for this year. Now, I'm sure that the Central League is a no-brainer, and that Shinosuke Abe of the Giants is going to take that prize home with no problem.
That's correct.
I think all the discussion is going to be again with the PL MVP. There were three guys I was looking at, and you know, I went through, and this is a long time ago when I went to do the voting, and I just think Hiroyuki Nakajima deserves the award because of the value that he ended up being to his team.
Right.
I think Yoshio Itoi surprised me with some of the numbers that he put up. I didn't really consider him as an MVP until I looked at the numbers, and I think he's going to garner some votes. I think he's going to he's well deserved of the votes, and I think he's going to garner some. And then there's Mitsuo Yoshikawa of the Fighters, the lefty pitcher who's came up big for them this year after the team lost Yu Darvish. So your thoughts on the Pacific League MVP?
Well, with the Japanese MVPs, there's always two questions: who should win it and who's going to win it.
Who should win it, and who are all the women going to vote for?
Huh?
Oh, wait, that's the rookie of the year. My bad.
Well, the old white guys. Wait, I guess, you know what? This year there ain't any old white guys voting. I was the old white man's vote in the previous, although I took sort of like the young Latino.
Your vote was usurped, I guess.
Yes, indeed. So anyway, I think I don't know who's going to win the vote of men of color, but I would agree with you. The person who should win is Hiroyuki Nakajima. Okay, the reasons are pretty simple. Offensively, second best in the Pacific League. The best offensive player, although he plays in a little better offensive context, I'm going to call them pretty much dead even, are Nakajima and Lita Ho. So those two, it's pretty much. Now, just a step behind them, and probably, I would say, equal, and maybe even a step ahead, is William O'Pena offensively, because he's playing in Fukuoka, in the Yahoo Dome.
Which is a pitcher-friendly park, yeah.
Here's the difference. We have three guys who are essentially even, and we have DH, first base, and gold glove winning shortstop. Oh, okay. Well, to me, that's the end of the decision. You know, that's the discussion right now. We got a guy who wins a golden glove. We got, and two guys who don't. And Nakajima should be the MVP, but the hitch in that, of course, is that the Lions did not win the Pacific League pennant.
No, so, they finished second.
Right. So that leaves it up to best choices are Yoshio Itoi or Mitsuo Yoshikawa. And
so if we try to play, let's guess the Pacific League MVP for I think it's going to – guessing from what they did last year, it's going to be Yoshikawa.
And guessing from what they usually do, which is a pitcher has decent numbers, they give it to the pitcher. Yoshikawa. I agree. Yoshikawa is going to be MVP. I would prefer Itoi. I would I think there's about – I think if I had the first, second, third place votes this year, it would be Nakajima, Itoi, and probably Inaba, those three.
Yeah, for me, and the reason I picked Nakajima, and everything you said was correct. He had good numbers. Everybody's numbers were they weren't great. They weren't fantastic. But I don't pick this award for who's got the most home runs and who's got the highest OPS and all that stuff. Those numbers are reflect what you produce. What I want is a guy who steps up and produces and helps you win games because,
Let's have as opposed to the guys who produce, as opposed to the guys who produce to help you win games.
Well, I say that, and of course, yeah, the argument is, some guys produce and they win, and some guys produce and their teams don't win. And what I mean by that is, when you're playing on a team, this is from elementary school up, you try to, whether it's baseball or basketball or anything, you try to get your best players in the positions where they can help you. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not a home run hitter, you're not up there trying to hit home runs, you're up there trying to get on base for the guy behind you to hit home runs. And if he does it and you win, then that's what the goal is. The goal is winning games.
Right.
This war, this wins above replacement thing, I love it. I like it. It's really good. But I don't think it tells the whole story because it only tells you who has the best stats. But it doesn't tell you why those guys were put in that position and when they came through and when they didn't come through. And Nakajima, when the Lions were struggling and they really had nothing going for them and they were very near flatline. He's one of the guys who stepped up, started hitting on a regular basis. Now, I'm not saying that those hits won games.
Yeah.
But the hits that he produced and the runs that he produced started got him going and got him back, got the heartbeat back up. I mean, it was resuscitation for that team. And he carried them in a sense offensively. He can't do everything. He's playing shortstop, but he carried them through a stretch to help them get going. And they eventually won a playoff spot. They didn't win the division, they didn't win the Pacific League, but they won a playoff spot, and I think it was his contributions during that time that stood out for me.
Well, to be honest, the big hitter on the big hitter on the Lions is a guy who wouldn't get any MVP votes because at that time, and it wasn't Nakajima, it was Kuriyama, but he got hurt. He got hurt, and Nakajima was still going, but Kuriyama was like the guy who was. Okay, well, maybe he doesn't get any credit because when he was playing his best, the Lions were losing. When he was the only hitter in the entire Lions lineup that was hitting, when he was doing everything he could to help them win, they didn't win. So I guess he didn't do anything.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you're trying to get your best player in the position to help you win games. They did that, and he produced, and they won.
Okay.
And that's why it's a combination of all of it. It's not the guy, it's the guy setting the table and the guy's getting on base help, but you got to get in. You got to, a lot of guys I hear talk about the RBIs aren't so important somebody's got to drive those runs home.
In other words, scoring runs isn't important, but driving them in is.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's almost what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying, but I hear that in the argument. Yes, it's important to score the runs, but it's important to be an RBI, but it's also equally important to have an RBI. And you can't score from second base a lot with two outs. You gotta be, you can't score on your own. You gotta be knocked in. You gotta be driven in.
True. Okay. True.
And.
Okay. Now, okay, I think we're gonna
run out of time is what we're gonna do.
We're gonna have to leave this because John and I, if we hit each over the head with this, we'll be here next year at this time with just lots of bruises. we have vastly different, I don't know, to me, John's argument is fuzzy. It's about, I understand, I'll try to put it as briefly, as succinctly as possible, is that I agree there are extenuating circumstances. When you take a guy who has a marvelous, marvelous, amazing season, and the guy who does the most to help his team win, and then, okay, you match him against somebody whose perhaps season is a little less impressive, but they did win, okay, you know, all else being equal, I would give it to the guy whose team did win. But that's rarely the case.
I agree.
2006, the best player in the Pacific League was Nobuhiko Matsunaga of the Hawks, but the guy who won the MVP was the guy who probably should have won the MVP, which was Michihiro Ogasawara of the Fighters. They were close to dead even, but one played better defense than the other. And
I got you.
And one, you know, Matsunaga was a better hitter. Okay. One played a little better defense. They're dead even. Give it to the guy who wins the pennant.
Yeah, I got you. My argument is based on, hey, a guy who puts up a bunch of numbers and a guy who actually contributes. And I'll tell you this story. How about this? And I'll try to make this as brief as possible. But when I was playing, and this is a different sport, but I was playing basketball in a rec league. And I averaged 30 points a game. And they made me the MVP. Yeah. My team was 1-9. We finished in last. I didn't see the value of my scoring 30 points a game when we finished 1-9. So you can have a lot of numbers and you can be really good at trying to help your team win, but it doesn't necessarily convert into wins. But that's okay. You don't want to pick the guy with the best stats. You want to pick the guy who contributed to what the team's value was as a whole, and the value was as a whole would be shown in first place or second place or third place, someplace to me, because, and I mean, I didn't want the MVP award. I didn't think I deserved it.
Well, you didn't. First of all, you didn't.
but anyway, as you said, if we talk about this, we'll never finish. And we only got about 10.
Yeah. Okay. I would close with that and say, yes, what on day one of the season, everyone's even. Every run counts the same. Every win counts the same. The problem is that the season is an analogous to a game. You know, when you drive in, it's not that a ninth inning run is more important than a first inning run, but when the game situation changes, scoring one run in a 0-0 game in the first inning and scoring one run when you're in a 9-0 game in the eighth inning, those runs are not the same.
I got you.
So what I would say is, yeah, if you're playing for the Yokohama Bay Stars, it's hard to be an MVP for this reason. Is that what matters to me? It's not about, I'm less about fuzzy stuff that I can't really measure. I want to say, okay, did he play, was there leadership? Did it look like leadership? Okay, that's a small little thing. I like things that I can observe. Okay, but the important thing is that the numbers, because whether you like it or not, everybody who votes for the old traditional ways, you know, who says, I'm going to say Miguel Cabrera because that's what we're talking about. Anybody who votes for Miguel Cabrera is not voting because he's a team leader. They're voting because he won the Triple Crown. They're voting because of a number. And what they don't like is people voting for numbers that they don't understand.
Yeah. And all this debate comes out of the fact that we both picked the same guy.
Right.
It's just that the process was different.
Okay. So anyway, so the whole point, what I would try to say is that, as far as winning, what counts is that numbers that are, I can't say this or that, but if the numbers are generated in a meaningful context, they have more value. You can't discount somebody who plays magnificently on a bad team as you did, but you have to recognize the fact that if you're playing magnificently on a bad team, how valuable are those to your team's success? There comes a point when nothing is valuable enough. So halfway, the numbers generated by a player for the Yokohama Bay Stars in most seasons are meaningful through about July 1st. And afterwards, they're, you know, you have to really discount them. But if you're playing in a pennant race and your team loses by a game, it's hard to credit somebody. It's hard to give extra credit to the guy whose team won one more game because his teammates were better.
Okay. Right. Okay. And with that, we'll leave it right there before the producer gets angry and throws us out. Okay. Free agents. Free agents, Keiichi Hirano decided to declare free agency from the Hanshin Tigers. We don't know where he's going to go. Your thoughts? Where is, as to where? Whenever I saw a good player who was out there and available, I always used to think the Eagles, automatically.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, I don't think they need a second baseman right now. They've got a lot of middle infielders who did well last year for him. I don't think they need a guy like Hirano. He's not going to help them that much.
Funniest thing about the Eagles and the Bay Stars is they both had a pretty good second baseman that they didn't like that much. And so they swapped them, and they're very happy. They swapped two sort of semi-regular second basemen, Kazuya Fujita, the Bay Stars, and Uchimura, who's about, he's about as tall as a bat boy.
He's tall as a bat.
Went to the Bay Stars. They played well before they were traded. They played well after they were traded. They played as well as the other guy did before they were traded, but both teams are happy with them. So I don't think so, but, you know, who needs a second baseman? You know, who could use them would be the Cebu Lions because Kataoka, although they want to keep, they just signed Kataoka to a two-year contract, I think.
Yeah.
So much for that.
Maybe the Fighters.
I don't think so. I think one of the kids is going to get that job.
I hope it's Sugiya, yeah.
Well, it's going to be Nishimura or Sugiya, one of those two.
Oh. I hope it's Sugiya, yeah. Okay, what about, SoftBank Hawks signed Ryota Igarashi.
Yeah, interesting.
Rocket Boy.
I'm glad, you know, the former Rocket Boy, I think that Rocket has already separated.
Wow.
That stage is separated. The nicest guy in the world. I probably say that too often. If all we're the nicest guy in the world, then there'd be no wars. So... But a very friendly, likable fella, and a smart pitcher who had horrible luck in the major leagues this year. But
I don't know if it was about luck.
He always had trouble adjusting. He pitched a little bit. He pitched well in when he got a chance. When he got a regular opportunities with the Mets, he pitched okay. But that's about what he's going to do. And then when he was brought up straight from the farm, he got whacked.
Yeah, he got bapped around pretty good. Now, Hidaka has been meeting with Hanshin. He's liking...
That's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, he's liking what he's hearing from there. And they need a catcher, so that's probably a good situation for them. Kosuke Fukudome has been talking to Hanshin.
Tsuyoshi Nishioka has decided on the Hanshin Tigers, so it looks like they are not going to be so eager to sign Hirano.
Yeah, I think Hirano knew. He read the stripes on the wall, I think, and he's getting out of Dodge while the getting was good. So we'll see how that goes. Anybody else? I can't remember. I think there was another signing on Sunday, but I can't remember.
Terahara has gone to the Hawks.
Yeah, Terahara to the Hawks.
Hideki Okajima has said he will not re-sign a contract with the Fukuoka Bankhawks and will try his luck in the major leagues next year.
Well, he'll be back soon, so we'll be seeing you back here, Hideki Okajima. All right, let's move along, yeah, before the producer gets angry. Best Niners, I think we'll skip that and talk about that next. When is it going to be announced?
Probably not long after most of you have downloaded this podcast.
Forget it. Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year for Central League. Who do you have?
Hard to overlook all those innings by Yusuke Nomura, but Dobayashi, I don't know.
With the strikeouts and the errors and the strikeouts and the errors and whatever he's got there going there.
Nomura, of course, put a big dent in his season by not being any good from July to August. But I don't know. It's a toss-up. I mean, one was they were both Nomura ate a lot of innings, and Dobayashi has got a big future. Who was better this year? I'd go with Nomura, but it's hard. It's a hard choice.
For me, I think it's an easy choice. I'm going with Nomura, and I'll tell you why. He threw 165-plus innings. His whip was about 1.13. His record was 9-11, but he's playing for the Carp. His ERA was 2.06. I'm not going to ignore that. I'm not going to worry about the record. He kind of tailed off at the end of the season, but he's a rookie, he's a young guy, and that happens. They tire out. Shinji Tajima did well for the Chunichi Dragons. I was surprised when I actually looked at the numbers. He's one of the guys who filled in for the reigning MVP, Takuya Asao, who was basically injured and unable to pitch very much this year.
Yeah, but give it to the guy who threw the innings.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Dobayashi's a pretty amazing talent, but Nomura just had a really good season for a rookie, got that much work. You know, he was able to stay healthy enough to pitch. Might be the last we see of him again, but
Dobayashi, I didn't like the strikeouts. I didn't like the errors. I think he only hit .241. He wasn't all that impressive in terms of his offensive numbers. I think he's going to be an impact player, and I think I talked about it last year that I want my rookie of the year to be an impact player, a guy who's going to be around for a long time, not just a flash in the pan. And yeah,
that was the case. I think the argument is better for Dobayashi than Nomura. I think with all the innings, I don't think he has any future at all. I think Dobayashi is going to be the guy who's 30 years old, who's the seven-time.
Well, I like his form. I didn't see anything too much in his pitching form that's going to end up having impact on him later in his career and in the coming years, but you never know. But I think he's going to be all right. Another guy who did well, who I don't think is going to get that many votes, is Ryosuke Miyaguni with the Giants. Guy pitched really well, 1.89 ERA. He had a 6-2 record and a whip of 1.08, but he only threw 95 innings. And
you can't say a guy who pitched. You know, he did great for a 20-year-old. I mean, Nomura's got a number of years on him.
Yes.
Yeah, 20-year-old, outstanding. But again, it's hard to go against somebody who's a frontliner from the start. That's pretty amazing.
Okay. In the Pacific League, this is going to be a tough one, I think, for the voters. And like I said, I think it's going to be the guy who's the cutest and who gets the most votes from the female voters. But I think Naoya Masuda with the Lotte Marines is the guy who's probably at the top. He set a record for rookies with holds, and he also set a rookie record for appearances. So
the voters have been very the Pacific League voters have been very friendly towards middle relievers the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
I personally would again stay away from middle relievers unless they're going to move, you know, unless they're going to be, you know, we've had Setsu and we had two guys from Masui won and Sakaki Barra won. And it's like, it's almost the, you know, the fad is to make a PL middle reliever the rookie of the year. I would have to go with Shota Takeda. He's got excellent command of his stuff. He's just a kid. I liked him better. The Kamata with the Hawks was with the Eagles was quite good for a brief period of time. He tailed off pretty rapidly. He got worn out, as his manager predicted. I would pick Takeda, but I think Masuda because like I said, Pacific League writers give the award to middle relievers. Masuda will probably get it.
Well, the reason I would favor Masuda over Takeda is because, and it's not any fault of his own, but he wasn't on the roster at the beginning of the season. He came along by halfway through the season, made 11 appearances. I don't know if they were all starts, but he made 11 appearances. He went 8-1. He was impressive. His numbers are impressive. 8-1, 1.07 ERA. The whip is under one. So he was fantastic when he was out there.
He was very sharp. And again, he was, of course, there's a year issue here. How old is Masuda? Is he 22 coming out of corporate league ball or something?
Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how old he is.
Tuckett is he just turned 19.
Yeah, this kid's straight out of high school. But I give him credit for being on the roster at the beginning of the season and being around all season. And he did manage to pitch more innings. He pitched 75 innings,
sure.
75-plus innings. Tuckett only pitched 67. But
the guy who's going to have the biggest impact, who do you want, a 19-year-old guy who can really pitch or a 22-year-old middle reliever?
Yeah. Obviously, the answer to that is obvious, and we want the 19-year-old guy who looks like he's going to be a stud. But for this award, I think I can't reward a guy for pitching half a season.
Okay.
So that's what I would probably go with Masuda there. Okay, so yeah, the best nines are going to be announced this week. I don't really have any favorites or non-favorites. You?
Yeah, I mean, I could run my list real quick if anybody wants to hear it, but I don't think we have that kind of time right now.
Yeah, we don't want to make the producer angry. I keep saying that. All right, well, let's talk about the Major League Rookie of the Year voting. I did want to touch on that real quick. Yu Darvish of the Texas Rangers, he got no first-place votes, but he got 9 second-place votes and 19 third-place votes and came away with 46 points, which is really good. I wish he...
How high did he do in the voting?
And he got 46 points. I believe he was third place.
Yeah, that's yeah, your 46 points could do well considering, you know, one guy took all the first-place votes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was happy to see that because we talked about it last year, the rule where writers in the States don't like to give these guys who have been professionals for a while any of the votes for Rookie of the Year. But I say this is a different level. It's a different class of player. And it's your first year playing there. You're a rookie, so you deserve the votes. And I'm glad that he got the number of votes that he got. Now, Norichika Aoki in the National League, he got 2 second place votes and he got 5 third place votes for 11 points.
I'm guessing both of the second place votes came from the Milwaukee beat writers because he's such a fun player to watch with them for a guy who didn't really have a job at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, and he came on great when they were in a pennant race. So, yeah, why not give it to him? I enjoyed watching him play. His offense, his defense was quite fun. He's an entertaining player.
Definitely, and he had a pretty good season. I was impressed. He did better than I thought he was going to do, and especially on that team, I didn't think he had a place in the outfield. And he got his break when somebody got injured, and
some other guys who had really good seasons last year,
yeah,
really good seasons this year.
Yeah,
so.
Except for Ryan Braun.
Yeah. So as far as the debate about calling them rookies, you know, my feeling is. I don't like to call them rookies because, first of all, I'm used to seeing them for years and years. But as far as the award goes, yeah, give them, you know, put them into the rest of them. I like to call them first-year major leaguers. But there isn't an award for guys who are first-year major leaguers, so make them eligible for the Rookie of the Year and, you know, vote your heart out, guys.
All right. So, and the last guy that I wanted to touch on was Chen Wei-Yi.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Tin Man, he pitched really well.
He did.
And, you know, a lot of the times that he was pitching, some of the times our correspondent in Tokorozawa, Mike, would email me and say, hey, Chen pitched this and he did that and did that. And I always said, you know, my question was not about his ability. My question was about his heart and his, or lack thereof. And he showed a couple times, in some close games that he had the ability to fight. So I started thinking, well, maybe he was saving that for when he went over to the big leagues.
Yeah. But, he was away from the guy who gave him the most grief is what it was.
I didn't give him the most grief.
Okay. Find out who gave him more. I want to speak about, before we close, something, a news item caught my eye today, which was that the Dragons, I'm sorry to throw this on you, but the Dragons players apparently as a group, when they've gone into to negotiate their contracts for 2013, have said, well, we're happy. We love playing for the Dragons, but this manager is a problem. Did you see that story?
I did not see that report.
Basically, the team has told Takagi, asked him, what the heck is going on and why are all the players complaining about you?
Well, it's not just the players, some of the fans too, and some reporters, hint, hint. All right, well, yeah, on that note, please send us your questions or comments via MP3 or email. Send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll play it on the show, or I will read it on the show. Let's see what they do with these, the best nines, the rookies of the year, the MVPs. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And hopefully, you know, I'll have a cooling off period this year since we won't have a show next week. We'll have our next show in 2 weeks in December. So I'll have a cooling off period in case they completely blow it again.
Well, the chances that they completely blow it are they'll either completely blow it or they'll completely blow it. Because it's what they do. Cool off, starting now.
Cool off period, okay. And with that, we say goodnight, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Enjoy your off season.